it's Friday. Happy Friday, everybody. Hurdles and home runs, busted pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. That's right. We got a special show, a little follow-up from the last hurdles and home runs. Jacob, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Johnny, because now we're not talking about books and all this nerd stuff. We're talking about video games, something people really care about for once.
Well, yeah, you know, a friend of mine once said, you know, what we were talking about headlines and different promotional marketing things for, this was at the time, a college of education. And he said, you know what? He's like, there's a lot of really cool themes and stuff. And he's a gamer and he was like in games. He's like, but at the end of the day, blowing the heads off of zombies sells. And he's like, and so it continues to win out. And similar, we have a lot of heavy conversations here on Busted Pencils. And we talk a lot about, you know, especially on hurdles and home runs or our Friday segment drops on what traditionally people understand as extracurriculars. And you know, listeners, pencil busters out there, that here at Busted Pencils, we call them essential curriculars. You know, the things that round out your education when you're participating. Maybe it's sports. We've talked about it. It could be clubs. I think a couple weeks ago, Jacob, I brought up Magic the Gathering, a club I've got to see a bunch of kids playing a really fun game and building community that complemented their education. And you and I, Jacob, got into my introduction to esports in a previous episode. And I said, well, I happen to know a guy. I've coached with them. I've taught with them. He's a legend over in the not only esports community, but in the teaching community where I hail from in Southeast Michigan. In fact, he is currently intervention and accommodation specialist. I'll just say that's an awesome teacher at my alma mater, Detroit Catholic Central, the Detroit Catholic Central. Let's go Shamrocks. But we have a guest with us today who has coached esports, who has advised on esports, who's connected to not only esports, but to education in a really deep and meaningful way. So I'm excited to introduce our guest today, Matthew Mooney. How you doing, bud?
I'm great. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the lead in there. That was wonderful.
That's how we do here at Busted Pencils, especially on Fridays. So let's just jump into it. For our continued listeners, you know, Jacob and I took a stab at like defining esports. Like, what is it? Because we have to imagine that there are listeners out there who are like, wait, what are you talking about esports? And now you're talking about video games. Can you give us kind of like a working on the ground definition of what in the world is esports?
Yeah, it's funny because it depends on who you ask. You know, I think that there's an established understanding in certain circles about what makes an esport. But ultimately, esports refers to just electronic sports, right? And it does ultimately pull from the term we would label video games, right? But that doesn't mean that every video game is an esport, right? Like I would say, you know, not all cars are trucks, but all trucks are cars, right? So like all esports are video games, but not all video games are esports. So for example, you know, if I'm immersed in a single player narrative game and I really like the story that's unfolding, like I would never tell someone that that's an esport. That's not the purpose of that title, right? Whereas something like Rocket League, League of Legends, Fortnite, Street Fighter, those are traditionally thought of as being esports because they're competitive by nature. They pit one person or a team of people against another person or a team of people. So you can have individual or team-based esports, but the point is that you're using the game to drive the competition as a means to an end to win, right? And that's every game has its own win conditions, and esports athletes, because they are tagged as being athletes, trained to do just that, to achieve at the highest level. And that's why you see, you know, people have like such the ratings are crazy and Twitch followers for gaming is outstanding because people want to see people do things at the highest level. And esports is a great way to do that for competitive gamers.
I mean, that's awesome definition. I love it. And, you know, Jacob brought this up, and I think you could probably speak to this as an ambassador of esports. And, you know, you're currently not coaching, but a former coach, and we'll get into it, with some great success around the team, around, you know, being part of a team. And so kind of getting into it, Jacob had mentioned, he's like, come on, Johnny, get with the program. Like esports, like we've had, you know, college and pro football players on and former hockey players. who have talked about like their pathway and what it brought to their education to be part of, you know, say like Harvard football or something like that. And Jacob said, you know, there are pathways in esports to professional esport level gaming. I mean, it's like, I don't even want to call it gaming, it's competing. Can you talk a little bit about like the big picture of like how this has grown and what is the big picture of this category, esports?
Yeah, it's a fascinating story because the growth depends on so many factors. It depends on where you're from. It depends on what title you're interested in. It depends on what your level of involvement wants to be. You know, one of the great things about a lot of esports titles is that it gives you real-time feedback on like your ranking. And while I can struggle with the idea of hierarchizing any kind of activity, we do that in athletics, right? You have 5-star recruits and you have 1-star recruits. And so to get to, you know, when you're playing Rocket League and you know your rank and you're a diamond and you're pushing because you want to push up to the next rank, when you play competitive titles, they put you with people who are similarly skilled to you. And that's the only way you get better. And yeah, maybe you have got players with you who are on a team and they can carry you, just like that happens in traditional sports. But eventually, you kind of, water finds its level. And so as you progress in that ranking system, you get more eyes on you. And it becomes that rarefied air that people talk about, where the circle of really elite players begins to narrow and you begin to know how each other play. So there's so many opportunities to be involved in esports in so many different ways. There's a traditional just like, hey, I'm grinding and I'm playing, right? If I play a lot and I'm achieving, then I keep moving up that ranking ladder. And it takes me hours, thousands of hours on that title. And it takes focus and it takes, and I've given talks on this, why things like exercise and nutrition matter, why mental health matters in the sphere of esports, because like, you do find yourself in positions where you could very easily disconnect if you weren't careful. But those are not the players that are finding the success. The people who find the success are the ones who are driven but also balanced. But the beauty of esports for me is that there are other opportunities professionally within esports that have nothing to do with playing. I was blessed to have a very close friend design my logo that I use for like Twitch streaming. That's to have someone that I care about care enough about me and what I'm trying to do in the world of esports and raising, this logo is used primarily for charity work, but like to have someone who's able to give me this great gift and be connected to our program and to what I'm trying to do, right? So there's artists involved, and then there's those who really love the tech side, and so they wanna do event planning. And then there's also people who wanna work on stream overlays or shoutcasting. So the entry points to be able to make something of yourself in the world of esports are so numerous that you might not ever put a controller in your hand, but you're still going to be embedded in the esports scene. And that's a scene that at the high school levels, they're trying to figure out, and at the collegiate levels, they're trying to figure out in different ways with conferencing and trying to figure out how to have, you know, meaningful matches, which is slightly different from the professionals, but those opportunities are there. And we would make the argument for many students, like, look, how many soccer players are there in your school right now? The chances that you're going to be someone who gets a scholarship in soccer, just by numbers alone, don't bear out terribly well in your favor, right? If you get to the point where you really love this game and you want to sink time and energy into it, you could get a scholarship for that. And like, that's a wonderful and beautiful thing. And that was part of how we arranged our program initially, was like to be able to drive students to take this passion and make it something that, while it is still kind of work, is also something that is helping them in their lives. So that was really one of the big missions behind when we got started in this probably 6-7 years ago.
Well, that's pretty, that's amazing. And it kind of bleeds into the next thought or question I had for you, Matthew, is I always like to ask when we're talking to people who are ambassadors of their essential curricular activity, you know, whether it's, you know, coach of a sport or a moderator of a really, you know, invested club. But I was like, what are some of the life skills and connections to education? Like, how do you see your athletes, I'm going to call them that, you know, members of the teams you've coached, how does it complement their experience as a student? I think you got into that already a little bit, but if I can pin it down exactly, like, where do those two overlap?
I do think that elements of collaboration are involved, you know, that we've all been that person in a group project that did all the work. We've probably also been that person in the group project that did none of the work. And on a team, that becomes really difficult to do. And in esports in particular, because there are like video replays are immediately available. And when you have a good coach who draws up the X's and O's, you're not getting lost in the shuffle. There's so many camera angles. And so learning how to manage roles, learning how to understand where you are essential and where you're maybe not needed, understanding how to adapt to an ever-changing situation, right? Communicate with your team. These are all things that are essential. You know, I think we've sort of poo-pooed soft skills in a lot of curricula in just throughout education, right? We push for these like very technical skills, and it makes sense we do that. But the ability to communicate as a human being with someone else when you're trying to achieve a common goal is so important. And I think esports is really uniquely poised to do that, because if I'm across the field, if I'm playing strong safety and you're playing free safety and we've got 15 yards of space between us, it's not really easy for me to communicate that I think that I've read this and I'm going to blitz. I might have a signal, you might not be looking. But if I've got a headset on and I'm sitting next to you and I know that I'm going to push this route, like it's so much more conducive to that level of conversation and collaboration. And so a lot of times in tournaments too, on site, like a coach can't necessarily even be involved in that moment. So I might have to stand back and I can't even talk to them. You know, in Rocket League, we literally had to leave the room in certain tournaments. I couldn't even talk to my players. So I would have to talk to them in between games. So that level of just on the fly communication is so essential to working out problems, to achieving success, to understanding failure. And we were in a really great situation to be able to find some great success, and then learning how to manage when success brings financial winnings, right? That brings out a whole other set of variables that you really do have to know. And outside of esports, you don't find many opportunities to do that at that age. So there's a lot of great chances to instill really valuable lessons in those kids, and help them to mature so that when they do come to those skills in the real world, then that setting feels more authentic.
Matthew, something I'm thinking about when it comes to helping your players grow with soccer or basketball or whatever it is, if you're interested in it, you're probably getting together all the time with people who also like basketball, who like soccer, and you're getting together in person playing these games. But for me, I like video games. When I want to play Titanfall 2, I'm alone in a room for 29 hours playing Titanfall 2. And that's the experience for a lot of people. And maybe I'm talking to people, you know, through my headphones, but I'm not getting that face-to-face time. And sometimes for us gamers, those skills can atrophy. Can you talk about how it helps people to be into esports? Because actually now all of a sudden you're in a team, you're in a physical space together, you're building that camaraderie.
Yep. And so that's where I go back to things like nutrition. That's where I go back to things like exercise. Like these are values that we wanted to have be a part of our program, because I'm not a huge advocate for esports in isolation. That is purely online. I really do believe in having a jersey. I really do believe in having team unity events. I really do believe in understanding the physical space, because we've had those opportunities, and then taking that opportunity at maybe a state level event and then bringing that to a national level event, the fact that we had had the experience of playing next to and across from another team is completely different than if you're just like everybody's sitting at home, or even if everybody's just in the computer lab at school. Really, what I've really tried to push so much of is these in-person events. Really be able to feel what it's like to stare right across at that person who wants to win. Because those of us who have been into traditional athletics, like that's a skill that's really important. And so learning how to win and lose gracefully. I've seen people win and pop off and pound the table. I've seen people lose and chuck their headphones. And all of those are things that happen in traditional sports too. And coaches have to manage those behaviors. And that was really like, There comes a point when it comes to esports, and I think this is maybe true in traditional sports too, but where it's like, I'm not going to be better than you at the game. I'm not. There's no way that I could manage. My colleague and I managed something like 4 different titles in 7 or 8 different teams. Like, there are going to be kids better than me at Rocket League, vastly better than me at Rocket League. But my goal has to be able to understand how to play with all the egos, understand all of the, right? There's X's and O's in there, but so much of it is just like personality management. And if you're only ever behind your computer screen, I think that emboldens you to be a version of yourself that maybe isn't super healthy all the time, especially when you have this like constant dopamine feedback of like kills and goals and shots, right? So to be able to manage all of that in person was really where I found so much value as a coach. And I felt like I was able to do my best work. Whereas if all I ever did was do video reviews, whether or not I was a great coach, I don't think I would have been a good coach at all if all I did was just give them feedback on how they played. So much of it is about the people that you're molding. And that's why we're into education, right? My content is valuable. It's important to me to be able to do a good job teaching today how to use the quadratic formula, right? But I want to know that the young men that I'm working with become good people. And that's as true as it is on the field of play as it is in the classroom.
Johnny, I want to hear what you have to say about that, because I'm thinking about this. I think this translates to all sports, because if you're a basketball player, you talk to somebody who played basketball in high school, you say, what do you remember? It's probably not one particular game that's stuck in their mind. It's being on the team, making friends, building the relationships, having a coach like you and Matthew who instills those values and those virtues into you to be a better person, not just a better player. So, I mean, how do you relate that for your experience as a coach?
Well, I think, yeah, that's a great question, Jacob. And I'm just elated hearing this from Matthew in the context of being someone who's learning about esports. Like, great ambassador work, Matthew, on this, because that is, in essence, kind of every great coach I talk to, that's what they talk about, is like that value of being part of a team, that development that you grow individually as an athlete, but also as a well-rounded as a person. That's kind of the why we do this thing. And we've talked about it a lot. The goal in all these essential curriculars is that we build lifelong skills, that we are like, hey, this is something I really love, whether it's singing in the choir, you know, dancing on a dance team, playing a particular game together in a club, you know, or drawing, maybe being part of like an art club or something. It's that you have something you have an affinity and passion for that we're helping to scaffold into and build into your life. You're going to carry these experiences and these learning moments into being an adult, being a member of our community. It's why we say like education is the bedrock of our democracy. It's like the kind of citizens, the kind of people we're going to be working with, living in community with, gained particular skills through their education that wasn't just regurgitating knowledge. You know, it was that they have a well-roundedness about who they are. And I think talking to every coach, you know, we have Jimmy Kay on here, Civic Media's own, you know, a guy who coaches football in Wisconsin. And we talk about it. It always boils down to that. How are we contributing to what young people are learning and carrying with them into their adult life? So I love hearing that. Matthew, we only got a couple more minutes with you, but I wanted to ask, like, for us newbies out there, for you as an ambassador, can you give a general breakdown of, like, we're familiar with, like, hey, football plays on Friday night. And you had mentioned like more in-person, you know, like competition and things. Give us kind of the structure. What is like the league structure for high school esports?
It's a great question. I just ended a multi-year tenure as an officer at large on one of our esports leagues here in Michigan. And the goal we've had is to legitimize this thing, because I ran a gaming club for many years and I drew in a ton of kids who just love to play video games. Mm-hmm. And they needed community and they needed, you know, a place to call home. And I was beyond honored to be able to offer that with something that I enjoyed as a person. I had 40 kids come to a rock band event. It was unbelievable. Like we were at the school till 10 o'clock at night, like jam session. It was crazy. But that's not the same thing as esports, because if you want to be involved in esports, like it is a competition. And there are people who just see it as video games, and that sometimes where the rubber meets the road there is challenging, because as a coach, if I'm involved in this endeavor, I do want to open this space that's essential to students to grow. But we also did this because we wanted to be competitors. We also did this because we believe that, it can be a means to an end, right? To help you to progress in a career path potentially, or at the very least get you to a position where you're getting scholarship dollars. But also, like, this is skill acquisition and growth-minded. So many of the esports programs across the country are becoming more like video game clubs with like an offshoot of one premier team or two premier teams. And I wouldn't suggest that it's bad to have that safe space for students. And really it kind of depends on the title, which we can get into maybe another day. But like, if you wanted to be involved deeply in esports as a competitive endeavor, you'd be playing on a team, you'd likely be involved or invested in a league, you'd have weekly practices, you'd have weekly games, and then at the end of that event or the end of that season, you would end up having a tournament run with playoffs and a championship. We're still moving towards a model where we hope to do more in person. Some states and some of the national leagues are more or less likely to want to do that. But my own personal vision would be able to see more in person, because when you see esports at the biggest stage, they're like selling out arenas and you're watching like the, you know, world championships of League of Legends and it's getting, you know, 200 million clicks. Like it's not about the money. I don't care about the money, but I do care about this being a vehicle to help students to do the things they want to do. And there was a time that it would have been crazy for someone to have like a private hitting coach for their kid who's in sixth grade and they're playing baseball. Right. And now, whether or not that's common, it certainly happens. So the idea that like you would have representation or coaching or skill, you know, skill-based coaching for students who are looking to achieve higher in Fortnite sounds crazy. But now that the shoe's on the other foot, maybe someday it's not going to feel so crazy. So we're trying to make it something that it feels established and is not just like, hey, I happen to have a buddy who works across the street at the other school. Like, why don't we just get our kids together and play a video game? Like, that's not what this is. This is serious business, scheduled times. You don't miss this. You prioritize your team. I understand play practices tonight, but we've got a game and you better talk to that play director because this is a game. All those same intermingling conflicts you have in a school, we should be taken seriously. And if it's not being taken seriously, I believe that that's a problem. So we really have fought that fight a lot, but we're making headway.
I love that. I love that. Okay. Now, a little bit more personal to you, and this is exciting. And I think there's so many questions on this topic that we might have to have you back. But here we have you. You've coached. You've experienced success with the team. But overall, as you know, an ambassador of esports and as a coach, you know, what's maybe one of your standout favorite moments or something that like you carry with you as like, that's a core memory from my experience at esports.
So I have to give a shout out to our athletic director here at Catholic Central, Mr. Aaron Babbitts, who is probably one of the most loving guys I know and is really like, he is such a cheerleader. At my previous school, we had that amazing team for Rocket League that I was the head coach of. And we ended up winning a state championship. And then as a result of that, placed in a national league. We also independently joined a second national league and, oh, hold on, sorry, the bell. And then a third, we were invited to a league run by Intel. It's called AVGL, Intel Inspires. And we ended up stacking three individual national titles for that team. And our players ended up winning over $30,000 in scholarship dollars and in donations to the school. And the crowning achievement of that was that AVGL tournament. I got to bring my son. We were flown down to Texas and we played on a stage in Arlington, Texas for the AVGL championship. And to this day, if you go to if you can find the Twitter page, the picture, you can see the players all huddled around and my son up on like my shoulders in the picture, they are holding their championship plaque. All of the coaches' faces are blocked up by the arms of the players, but my son, who's maybe 9 at the time, is like front and center. And it was this like formative experience where, you know, he got to see that this was something that was real. And the rest of our players too, they walked around and they said like, this is something that we did. And we really wanted to do our best not to revel in the money side of it, but to at least say like, this is a success. This is the kind of thing that most people don't get to do. And so one of the things that I'm so proud of in my work here at Catholic Central, but also in my work with esports is like, you don't get to be on the leading edge of things very often. And so, right, so often like you're walking paths that have been well trodden and you're maybe trying to like innovate in ways that you can. But this is something that this was new and this was fresh and this was something no one had ever done before. And so to be a part of that really has been something that I've been very proud of. I've forged wonderful relationships to this day that I get to hold on to. I still keep in touch with, you know, whether it's artists or it's people on the tech side. Like, these are people that I like are very near and dear to me and mean the world to me. And if I wouldn't have been a teacher, and if I wouldn't have been willing to commit to these essential curricular things, then, like, I know my life would be very different, and it would be, I'm getting as much, you know, we talk a lot about, like, the teachers that shaped us, and I've had the fortune to really have some wonderful people in my life through this profession that have shaped me, and that is something that I really am proud of and will take with me forever.
Oh, man, well, congratulations on that successful Natty run, and for being ambassador of esports, and that aspect of essential curriculars. Matthew Mooney here with us today. Thanks for busting pencils with us.
Anytime.
Now, it's time for your moment of zen. It is the citizenry, rather than the government, that is the ultimate source of power and the locomotive that pulls the train of government in the direction of equality and justice. Thanks for listening to this episode of Busted Pencils, Hurdles and Home Runs. Remember to grab great podcasts packed full with more Busted Pencils content on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and of course, you can always find us on the Civic Media website or at bustedpencils.com. Hey, remember, don't be late for homeroom on Monday, and be sure to grab next week's class in session on Wednesday. And if you don't already know, well, I'm going to tell you, and you're going to love it. You can catch Busted Pencils broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time every Saturday across all the Civic Media Network stations for 1 hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.